Romans chapter 4. Title of the message this morning, How to Have a Strong Faith. How to Have a Strong Faith. Romans chapter 4. I know it says we'll begin with verse 18, but I'd like to actually begin with verse 16. Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. In the book Percy Ray, A Ray for God, the story is told of a revival that broke out in Tennessee early in Percy Ray's ministry. A revival meeting was held once a year. When the revival was held, the horses would be turned out the field. Farmers left their field, and everyone went to the revival meeting. That particular year, a terrible drought had hit the area, unlike what we're experiencing here in our part of the country. The corn was all twisted, the cotton was wilted, the creeks and wells had gone dry. Everybody was worried and bothered about the drought. There had not been a cloud in the sky for 30 days. They couldn't get their mind on anything other than how dry it was. There was an old deacon who had great long whiskers. He stroked those whiskers and said, "Brother preacher, we need to come in the morning and pray for rain. Everybody's mind is on the drought and not on revival. We are not going to have revival if we don't get some rain. The animals are dying, the crops are dying. We just can't have a revival meeting, so let's all come in the morning and pray." They set the next morning to meet and pray. When the old deacon came to pray, he brought his hip boots and raincoat with him. As Percy called them, the Spit and Whittle Gang met at the country store every day. They saw the old man coming down the street. They said, "Looky yonder. Grandpa's so worried about the drought, he's done lost his mind. He's going down the street with his hip boots on, carrying an umbrella, and there's not a cloud in the sky. He has been acting kind of peculiar lately. Now he's just gone crazy over this drought." A little while, the old deacon's wife and granddaughter came up the street. The granddaughter had on her galoshes, a raincoat, and was also carrying an umbrella. The Spit and Whittle Club said, "Honey, you and your grandpa gone crazy. You've got a pair of galoshes, a raincoat, and an umbrella. Your grandpa just went up the street with hip boots and a raincoat. There's not a cloud in the sky. There ain't going to be any rain today." She said, "What do you mean? Ain't you heard? Grandpa has gone to church to pray till it rains. I'm going to stay with him till it does rain, and we will need these when we come home." The people came early to the church to pray. They began with a sin confession. People confessed their sins to each other and the Lord. The old deacon got in the corner of the building and struck his face against the corner of the wall. He began to beg God to send rain so that they could have a revival. He didn't pray for the crops. He prayed for revival. The longer he prayed, the closer he got, up in the corner he got. Tears ran down off his whiskers and down to his chest as he prayed. He just kept on praying. In a little while, a rumbling could be heard outside. Then suddenly a clap of thunder was heard. The wind began to blow, and before noon, it had rained so hard it was flooding. The rain cut through gullies, through the fields. When the old man went home, he had to wear hip boots. He carried his granddaughter on his shoulders. Needless to say, they also had revival. What is faith? Faith is wearing galoshes, a raincoat, and carrying an umbrella when you go to pray for rain. Jesus said, have faith in God in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. There are two statements in the Bible that grip my heart every time I read them. The first is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now you think about that for a moment. As Christians, our desire should be, and I believe is, to serve God, to seek Him diligently, to please Him. And yet the Bible tells me that if I don't have faith, I cannot please Him. When it comes to God, we must believe that He is, that He exists, that He is a living God. We must not doubt that in our hearts. And yet it's not enough to believe that He is. Most people believe in God, but they don't have faith to believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. They believe in Him, but it's not necessarily a question of believing in Him. It's believing on Him. Do you believe on Him today? Do you believe that He can do and will do what He said He would do? It's not nearly enough to believe in the existence of God. Einstein said, certainly there is a God. Any man who doesn't believe in a cosmic force is a fool. But he went on to say, we can never know Him. There's no question that Einstein was a brilliant man, but when it came to a knowledge of God, he was spiritually ignorant, because we can know God. We can know Him as a God that acts and responds to those that come to Him by faith. We can come to know Him as a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and that when we seek Him with all of our heart, we will find Him. So that's the first statement that grips me, is that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The second statement that really grips me is found in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, where the Bible says, and He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What was the root cause? What was the problem? Why they didn't see many mighty works of God? It was because of a lack of faith. It was because of unbelief on their part. God rewards those who have faith, but He withholds blessings and demonstrations of His power to those who do not have faith. And so if faith is so important in the Christian life, I have to ask you today, how strong is your faith? This is the final message in the series, the Instruction Manual for the Christian Life. If you've missed them all before this, that's fine. This one stands on its own, but it's a very important one. How can we have faith? How can we have a faith that is strong? Well, Abraham is a good example for us of someone with a strong faith. So let's look at his example and consider, first of all, the degree of our faith. The degree of our faith. We read in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want to draw your attention to the words, not weak in faith. The word weak speaks of that which is diseased or sickly. It is used in contrast to one who is healthy. We could say today that Abraham did not have a puny faith. He did not have a weak faith or a sickly faith. On several occasions, Jesus spoke of little faith that was displayed in others. There was the night when the disciples found themselves on a stormy sea. Here they are. They're experienced fishermen. They're used to storms rising up as they are on the seas. Jesus said to them, though, he said, on this particular night, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? See, they were fearful, and that fear drove out the faith that they should have had. Why are you of such little faith? Weak faith, sickly faith. And then one night Jesus came to them walking on the water. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And Jesus said to him in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? See, again, it was his lack of faith. It was his doubt, his unbelief that caused him to sink. A sick or a weak faith is one in which there is little faith. The degree of faith is anemic. It is sickly. It is weak. But the Bible said of Abraham that he was not weak in faith, but rather he was strong in faith. He had the kind of faith that we should aspire to have, and that is a strong degree of faith. The Bible says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So in contrast to a weak, sickly faith, there's a strong, a healthy faith. An example of this kind of faith is seen in the centurion. In Matthew chapter 8, here's this centurion. He's a Roman soldier in charge of 100 men. He had 100 men underneath him. But he had a servant that was sick. And so he approached Jesus about the condition of his servant. I have this servant, Lord. He's very sick. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 7, I will come and heal him. You have a sick servant. I will come and heal him. The centurion, though, said to Jesus, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. The degree of his faith is seen in that he knew that the Lord didn't even have to be present in order to heal his servant. He said, all you have to do, Lord, is speak the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. And the Bible says that Jesus marveled at his faith, and he said of his faith, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. So the centurion is an example of one who had a strong faith. I'm pretty sure that most of you heard the name Robert Louis Stevenson, author of Treasure Island and other well-known stories. The influence of a godly home was carried with him throughout his life. Fighting a losing battle with death, he wrote, the tragedy of things works itself out blacker and blacker. Does it shake my cast iron faith? I cannot say it does. I believe in the ultimate decency of things, and if I woke in hell, should still believe it. But I love, as he described, what kind of faith he had. It was cast iron faith. Cast iron faith. Faith that was unbreakable, unshakable. Faith that was strong. Secondly, I want us to look at the demonstration of our faith, because the degree of our faith is always demonstrated in our life. The degree of Abraham's faith was clearly demonstrated and made evident in his life. And that's seen by how he looked at the problem. How he looked at the problem. Notice verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, this verse, the situation that's being described, is built around a promise that God gave to Abraham and Sarah, a promise that they would have a child. Years and years passed since they received that promise. And from all human logic, things now were impossible for this promise to be fulfilled. Neither Abraham nor Sarah were spring chickens anymore. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. I once heard someone say that an optimist was a 90-year-old man marrying a 30-year-old woman and buying a house next to an elementary school. There's a difference between faith and optimism, though. If optimism is a 90-year-old man and a 30-year-old woman, faith is a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman buying a house next to an elementary school. The Bible says that Abraham was well aware that both he and Sarah's body was dead. In other words, he knew that because of their ages, they were incapable of having a child. But the word considered, as the Bible says, he considered not the problem of their deadness. The word considered speaks of observing something fully. It speaks of what we mean when we say that we focus on something. Where does a weak faith focus? It focuses itself upon the problems, the impossibility. The weak faith sees the problem and says, what am I going to do? What can I humanly do to make this thing work? I think of the example when Jesus fed the multitude, 5,000 men plus women and children. Philip looked at the problem, counted the money that they had, knew they were well short, said 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He said, we can't go out and buy food to feed this multitude. We don't have enough money, even if everybody just took a couple of bites. His faith was weak, and he responded to the situation before them. He looked at the problem and said, there is no way that we can feed these people. And so some look at the problem and they fall apart. They see no further than the human impossibility of their situation. Weak faith is always demonstrated in one feeling that they can't do it or they can't make it. Weak faith only sees the problem and asks, what will we do? Weak faith fills the heart with fear. Weak faith sees nothing but the difficulty the problem brings. I think of a farmer from Georgia that I read about, ragged and barefooted, who was standing on the steps of his rundown shack. A stranger stopped for a drink of water. He asked, how's your cotton coming along? The farmer replied, ain't got none. Did you plant any? Asked the stranger. Nope, said the farmer, afraid of the boll weevils. Well, how's your corn? Did you plant corn? Nope. Didn't plant any. Afraid there weren't going to be no rain. How about potatoes? Did you plant any potatoes? Nope. Didn't plant any taters. Scared of potato bugs. Did you plant anything? No, I just played it safe. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are living their lives today playing it safe. Afraid to trust God. Afraid to step out in faith and let God demonstrate His power in their lives. Their faith is weak. I've seen it time and time again. Someone hesitates to follow God for fear that they won't be able to do it. They won't make it. They're going to fail. It's a weak faith. But in the case of Abraham, the Bible says that he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Remember we said a weak faith looks at the problems? Abraham, he doesn't have a weak faith and he's not looking at the problem. He didn't see his age or Sarah's age to be a dilemma or something to worry about or cause fear. Now, certainly from a human perspective, they had a problem. You never see a 100-year-old husband and a 90-year-old wife attending Lamaze classes. And according to an April 2003 BBC article, the world's oldest mother was a 65-year-old retired school teacher in India that gave birth to a baby boy. The previous record had been a 63-year-old Italian mother. The boy, reportedly healthy and weighing 6 pounds and 8 ounces, was born by C-section at a private home, according to the Times of India. But even then, the baby was not naturally conceived, but was the combination of an egg from the woman's 26-year-old niece and the sperm of her husband. But in Abraham and Sarah's case, he's 35 years older, and Sarah was 25 years older than the Indian mother. They didn't know anything about fertilization, and even if they did, they wouldn't have qualified. So they didn't see the problem as a difficulty, though. They saw it as an opportunity. Could you not only see how Abraham looked at the promise, but more importantly, how he leaned on the promise? He was not considering his problem, but God's promise. Here's the thing that makes all the difference in the world. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the problem? The problem is going to lead to weak faith. Instead of looking at the problem, look at God's promise. Look at God's promise, because that will lead to a strong faith. The Bible says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That was the promise. That's where his hope was. He knew that God had promised that his descendants could not be counted. They would be in number as the sand upon the seashore or as the stars in the heavens. And verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The word staggered literally means to separate oneself from. He did not pull away from what God had promised. He didn't separate that promise out of his life, but he wholly accepted it as that which is true. Now, think with me a moment about the promise God gave him. Take the name that he had before God changed his name, the name Abram, by which he was originally called. The name means high or exalted father. Now imagine calling yourself daddy, high or exalted father, when you are not yet even a father. And that was not bad enough to be called high father. It got worse because God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Mays Jackson used to say that Abram started tithing and God added the ham to his name. Not a bad explanation, but the name Abraham means father of a multitude or father of many. So can you imagine someone asking, what is your name? My name means father of multitudes. Father of many. That's great. How many children do you have? The father of many was the father of none. And as the years passed, it looked like it would stay that way. But again, Abraham was not looking at his problem. He was leaning on God's promise. And verse 20 says that he gave glory to God. He kept praising God for the promise that he had made. And verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. He knew that his impossibility
was God's opportunity to manifest his ability.
A school teacher gave his class a difficult problem. He said to the students, "You will find it very hard to solve, but there is a way." After repeated attempts, most of the class gave up on the problem, went through his pencil down and said, "There is no way." There was one fellow who kept on working and went over the problem again and again, saying to himself, "I know there is a way because the master said there was a way." Listen, if God has given you a promise and there seems like there is no way, there is a way. If God has promised, he is able to perform it. He will keep his promise. There is a way. Faith is a step. Somebody said that faith is a step in the dark. No, faith is not a step in the dark and the unknown. Faith is a step out on the unfailing promises of God. I have read George Mueller over and over again. I'm just so fascinated by his life as he fed more than 2,000 orphans. And he did it all by faith. Mueller had in his early ministry set the policy that he would never take an offering or ask money for the orphanage or tell anyone but God about his needs. And the reason why is he wanted to show to the people of his day that God was alive and that God would take care of his people. And he lived a life of faith, proving the generosity of God, proving that God is real and alive. And finally, number three this morning, we want to look at the development of faith. If faith is that important, if it's impossible to please God without faith, and if whatever we do without faith is sin, how do we develop this important quality? Luke 17:5, the apostles are seen coming to the Lord and saying, "Increase our faith." Increase our faith. The word increase means to add to. The idea is of one's faith being added to, making it stronger and stronger. The tense of the word strong in faith in Romans 4:20 is that Abraham's faith was becoming stronger. And as you look at the life of Abraham, you see God putting him through certain tests. He has some crisis situations, but each time he passes through one of these tests, in one of these crises, he's getting stronger and stronger. With each passing year, his faith is developed and grew stronger. In fact, faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. Would you like for your faith to be stronger? How can we develop then our faith then? How can we move from a great faith to a strong faith? How can we go from a weak faith to a healthy faith? Let me suggest two things that you can do to develop your faith. First is, ask God to increase your faith. It seems simple enough, but ask God to increase it. In Mark 9, you got a story of a man who brought his son to Jesus. This son was possessed with demons. Jesus came from the Mount of Transfiguration. He found his disciples surrounded by a crowd of people being questioned by the scribes. He asked, "What is going on?" And one from the crowd stepped forward and said, in verse 17 and 18, "Master, I have brought thee unto thee my son, who hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast them out, and they could not." What was Jesus' response? Verse 19, he answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Jesus attributed the inability of the disciples to cast the demons out of this boy, he attributed their weakness to a lack of faithfulness. But it served the Lord to give a demonstration, a teaching about faith. He said further in verse 23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." If thou canst believe. If you can only believe, Jesus is saying, all things are possible. James tells us, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, no doubts." You know, doubt and faith is like oil and water. They don't mix. And verse 24 says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." What is he doing? He's asking the Lord to increase his faith. Lord, I believe, but I don't want to have any doubts. I want to believe stronger. Add to my faith. One of the things that you can do is ask God to increase your faith. You might have to get alone with God and say, Lord, my faith is weak. Help my unbelief. Will you increase my faith? And also then, second thing you do is allow God to increase your faith. There's one thing I've discovered, that when my faith needs to be increased, God will put me in a situation where I must have faith in Him. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." What is James saying? He's saying that trials can be productive in our life, bringing about results that God desires in our life. One of the trying things is God tries our faith to produce a stronger faith. If faith is like that muscle, how do you make your muscles stronger? You use them. If you don't use them, they'll atrophy. They'll become weak. And so the only way to a strong faith, other than asking God and getting the fruit of the Spirit, which is faith, is to exercise that faith. And so it grows through each situation. The trying of your faith will produce a strong faith in your life. I think of the words of Andre Crouch's song, "Through It All." "I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. So I thank God for the mountains and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word." What was God's message to us this morning, earlier during the worship service? It was to trust Him, wasn't it? Are you willing to trust God with every area of your life? If you want your faith increased, ask God. It's as simple as that. And yet, I think probably most people have not actually prayed and asked God to increase their faith. And then the second thing is, realize that God will put you in a situation where your faith will be stretched so that He can build on your faith. When God thrusts you into a situation, have faith in Him. Lean upon Him. Trust in His promises. With each simple act of faith, you're exercising it, and your faith will grow. You'll become strong. A strong faith just doesn't happen. For the most part, it's developed over the years as God places you in situations where you learn to trust Him. In closing, 2 Thessalonians, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 of the testimony of those believers, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." My prayer is that would be the testimony of our church. Everyone who attends our church, your faith grows exceedingly. You've asked God to increase your faith, and God has done that very thing
He has increased your faith. You have moved from a weak, sickly faith to a strong, healthy faith. Can I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Is there a situation in your life today that you are saying, I just wish I had more faith? I just wish I had more of an ability to trust God in this situation. Maybe it's that your life is characterized by a weak faith, or maybe it's not so much that your life is characterized by a weak faith, but there's a particular situation or problem that you are facing, and although you've had faith for things in the past, this one thing has caused some doubts. God's word to you today is, don't look at how difficult that situation is. Don't look at how difficult that problem is. Even how impossible that situation is. Do yourself a favor and stop trying to think about how you're going to work it out. And instead, say, Lord, I know that this situation is impossible, but with you, nothing is impossible. And instead of looking at this problem right now, Lord, I'm turning my eyes to you, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at your promise. Don't look at the problem, look at the promise. Get your eyes where they need to be, on the deliverer. Say, Lord, increase my faith. Add to my faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Here's what I'd like us to do this morning. I would like us to sing that chorus. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. And if you are facing a difficult situation, or if you just want more faith in your life, would you just come to the altar and just stand here as we sing it this morning? So let's all stand to begin with. If you would like more faith, or you're in a particular situation that you need faith for this situation, would you just come and stand here at the altar this morning? Take a step of faith. Take a step toward God. And let Him meet you at the altar this morning. Ready?
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe. Only believe.
Your faith is strong. Maybe it's not so strong for yourself, but if you feel your faith is strong for somebody else, would you just come and stand behind these that have come to the altar today? Just, even if your faith is not where you want it to be, where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, there is He in the midst of them. So would you just please come? Let these people know that you love them, that you support them. Stand behind them. Lay a hand on them. You really don't even have to say anything out loud. Just pray for them.